What's up, guys? So in this episode of That Pitch Podcast, I am talking to Daniel Musto. He's an amazing producer out of Stockholm, Sweden, and he's like an OG member of That Pitch. He was with us since like the very beginning. He's awesome. He's like breaking like 100 placements at this point. He's awesome. The entire crew loves him. And he just sheds a lot of light on his entire process for producing music for Sync. He talks a lot about being prolific and making a lot of music. We also talk about his upbringing in the studios and how that has helped him with his entire production process. Anyways, you're going to get a lot out of this, and I think it's really going to help you produce a lot of music for Sync. Yeah, that's it. Hope you're having a great day. And without further ado, here is my interview with Daniel Musto. Welcome to the That Pitch Podcast. The That Pitch Podcast helps music producers and artists tap into the world of Sync licensing, publishing, music business, and more. So if you are tired of trying to make it and you're more interested in making a living, then you are in the right place. The That Pitch Podcast is brought to you by ThatPitch.com, the number one music licensing tool for producers and artists. I'm your host, Mark, the founder of ThatPitch.com. Now let's get into the show. Welcome back to another episode of That Pitch Podcast. Here's my buddy, Daniel Musto. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. I'm back after 2 years with you.
Daniel's the best. He's the shit. He has gotten me out of a lot of trouble. There's been plenty of times where I had a massive client who was like, hey, we need this kind of track. And it was like really early on into That Pitch days. And Daniel was the guy who just had an absorbent amount of music that he made like every day. It was like crazy. I was like, I have no idea how the hell he has this much music. There were just so many times where like I would give you like a half hour or an hour and you'd send a bunch of stuff through and you'd kill it. But anyways, before going to those stories, where are you from?
I'm from Stockholm in Sweden, you know, that country up north where polar bears are strolling around the streets.
It's cold. You're in the studio all day. That's what you do. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Love it. So I kind of want to bring it back to the start of, so to put in perspective for everybody, Daniel has landed what, like nearly 100 placements with us at this point.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you land, you know, very regularly. The entire community, like the That Pitch community, calls you catalog daddy because you just have such a big catalog of music. You're constantly creating. So,
I mean, that's quite a beautiful nickname actually, because
dude, you're catalog daddy. I'm sync daddy, bro.
Exactly. Good. What do you say? Good match.
Yeah, dude, we're like the fun stepfathers. So, kind of like take it back. How'd you start in music? You know, your career so far, like just everything, man.
Well, I started making. My father always played music at home. You know, he always sat or stood with his guitar and bass in our living room. So I guess quite a lot of inspiration came from him, of course. But I was quite small then. And at 5 years of age, I got this old, how do you say, Bontempi keyboard. You know, the one where you started it like, woo, 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 woo.
Hell yeah.
So I started playing on that. And, you know, my father and mother early realized that I had really easy to hear something and then play it on the keyboard directly. So I started to, you know, doing these melodies that I heard on radio. And I think my inspiration and my passion for music really started.
Gotcha. And you started getting a little bit more serious about it, I would imagine, what, like early adulthood sort of stuff? To like, all right, I think this is working.
Yeah, I started in 97 for, let's say, professional purposes. Came out that way, but yeah, that was the purpose.
So what was kind of the early, like, what did the early days of your career kind of look like? Because now it's like, you know, you're landing deals, you know, very regularly. Back then, like when I first started out, I mean, it was just like terrible gigs after terrible gigs. It's like trial by fire. What did it kind of look like for you earlier on?
Well, I've never actually played live.
You're just a studio cat. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I always, I've been like a lone wolf. I have been working with a lot of artists, but it was more sketchy, you know. Let's do a song here and let's see if anything happens. And I didn't have the contact, so you can, you know, the rest. You know, I mean, so it was basically just making music for fun.
Yeah. Which no, you keep going. Sorry.
But then when I started to work in a big studio, it became a little bit more serious. I found this guy called, this is a Swedish name, Sören, and he had a really big studio in Stockholm, and he's a very renowned mastering engineer and mix engineer. So I started to work at his studio, and you know, with the flow, and many artists come there, and then you meet them and talk and do collabs, and things started to happen a little bit more, let's say.
You know, it's funny. I feel like now, I might be wrong, but I feel like now it's rare to see an aspiring producer or engineer that actually, like, you know, interns at a studio, like really, you know, gets their ass kicked in studios, like learning studio etiquette, mic placement, just like all the official stuff. Because now everyone's like, you know, they learn how to produce out of their bedroom. I feel like I was on the tail end of like that traditional come up. It was kind of like the migration where, like, you know, home studios were just becoming like, you know, things that could be a serious thing, like could be like a real moneymaker, like an actual business. Because before, like, you know, back in the 90s, if you had a home studio, it was just like for demos and stuff. And then you go to the real studio to cut.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But I got like some early gigs working at, you know, actual studios and like session drumming. You learn so much that,
of course,
I don't, yeah, it's
crazy.
I don't like some of those lessons. I don't even know how I would learn on my own. Just like, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I totally feel you. I mean, that's how you learn. I mean, and you know, even if I worked in this big studio, all this technical stuff, I can't say I, you know, I was never interested in that. I mean,
dude, me too. I mean,
the mic was already there and it sounded,
amazing. But it was kind of like, for me, the biggest benefit of like working in big studios, you know, back in the day, was not necessarily like the actual technical aspect of it. It was like, you know, learning how to deal with clients and like work with clients and like understand studio etiquette. If somebody is doing a vocal take and they sound like shit that day, like how to actually, you know, treat that scenario and just like how to treat people. It's a lot of people skills that, you know,
of course,
if somebody's making a record, that's such a vulnerable place to be. So like anything you say can affect the rest of the day, and that could affect the entire budget if they're doing like day rates or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you got to know how to coach.
You do have to learn how to coach. Let me ask you something. Cause like, I feel like you and I are very similar in the fact that I think we're kind of both like producers first, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
like, that makes sense. Like a lot of my big credits are you know, through engineering or like assistant production, but usually it like stemmed to like some engineering stuff.
Yeah.
But like, as far as like signal flow and like all that stuff, it like did not click in my brain. Like I was definitely, I worked at a studio here in town, engineering.
Yeah.
And I just like was not stoked about it. But then I met a guy named Charles who owned this big production and like commercial music studio here. And he also produced some records for like Brandi Carlile and stuff. And it's like when you find that mentor and like, he didn't yeah. give a shit about any of the tech stuff. Like he would just find whatever mic was closest because he was just like, yeah, they're going to get the shot. So like, it's like a bass drum mic and they're tracking vocals on it or whatever. So they're like, yeah, this is going to be the tank. Like just bring it up, you know?
He was like, it will come out as it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your job to like, you know, like who cares about the tech? It's your yeah. job to actually make it a good record, you know?
It is.
So how long were you working out of the studios for? You know, how, like, what was that? How did that entire situation look?
Yeah, I started in 2001. And I worked there for almost 13 years without getting any music out. What I did, I wrote like a publishing deal with this guy.
I think you were telling me that you signed a publishing deal earlier on.
Yeah. And the agreement was that, you know, he would work with my songs.
Right. Yeah, no, it doesn't. One of my buddies just signed a pub deal a few years back, and I'm not going to name the publishing company. I'm not going to name him. Mm. He's a great guy. They're a great company. It's just a deal that did not make sense.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many times where like, he was like, I just want a tour. Like that's all he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And they offered him a publishing deal. And I was like, you don't take a publishing deal to go, like, if you think they're going to get you on tour, like that's a completely, if that's your dream, the pub deal is not going to help that, you know?
No, not at all.
So deal didn't work out. He wasn't pushing it.
No. And of course my frustration grew bigger because I wasn't thinking about, you know, making a lot of money. I'm going to be a millionaire, you know, stack money up. No, but I wanted to get something back from all the work that I put into all these songs. And, you know, after that, I went independent. I have my home studio. I can't turn the screen on my computer so you can see, but, you know, it's a small studio where I can actually do everything. Well, at least as far as my knowledge with, you know, the text.
Yeah. Well, that's like me too. It's like, I have my home studio and like, can I, you know, is it easy to set up my kit and have like a live band?
Yeah.
No, but like, how often do I want to do that? It's like, I got my bag of tricks. I make my synth pop and hip hop shit. And like, I'm good.
Exactly. And I guess that's how I think too. I mean, I have my plugins, my software synths,
this. Hell yeah, dude.
What
keyboard you got?
I have this M Audio, you know, 49 that costs like $2.
Right. I always ask if anybody ever has like super new gear. I'm just like, you don't produce very much, do you? It's like, like for me, I never want to change out any of my plugins. I never want to change out any of my gear. The idea of getting a new laptop scares the shit out of me. You know, I'm just like, everything's working.
I know. Like, me too. When I, you know, I've done this with every computer that I bought for music. I never update.
Right.
I never update. You know, I'm still on my iMac Pro. From 2019.
I got you beat. You want to know the year of my laptop? The one that we're talking on right now, that's fast as fuck, that's going great. It's a 2012.
You see?
Bro, I got a new solid state drive.
Yeah.
Maxed out the RAM. And then I got like a Apple display. So I can like plug that in through Thunderbolt. Goes through my Apollo 8P into the display.
And it works, right?
Bro, yeah, this camera setup is just HDMI to USB. I still got USB, bro. I still got a CD tray, bro. What's good?
Ooh. That's hot.
Yeah, dude, I'm winning.
Yeah, you won.
Let me ask you, early 2000s, when you were like getting really serious, like working out of studios and everything. I mean, this was before social media was really taking off. I would imagine like early days of MySpace, there was some global in music industry, but not like a crazy amount. What was the scene like in Sweden? Because like now, I mean, just the past decade, there's so much music. I mean, Spotify's there, Epidemic Sound. There's so much Soundtrack Your Brand. There's so many music tech startups out of Stockholm, but like Sweden as a whole, I mean, Max Martin, like there's just,
I know there's so many good producers.
Aren't you guys like, I think you guys have like I think Sweden has the fourth biggest music industry export, like revenue of any country in the world, but you have the smallest population of the top four. So really you guys have like the most dense economic output of music industry, which is
That's crazy.
Dude, you guys are killing it, you Swedes.
You know,
but
K-pop and J-pop.
Yep, I'm a huge J-pop fan.
All Swedish producers, almost.
Really? Yeah. You know, really?
Yeah.
I have heard some really interesting things about the J-pop and K-pop scene that I think you'll probably agree with. So I have a buddy who's out of Charlotte. He ended up moving out to LA like maybe, I don't know, 6 years ago or something, around 2016 or 17. And, you know, this was like earlier days where K-pop was like really starting to get more globalized to the common listener, you know?
Of course.
And, you know, he was maybe like he would say this, but he was like more of like a tier C, you know, major label producer. He wasn't the first call, but he had some cool cuts. But he went out to, he lives in Seoul now. Mm-hmm. His fiance at the time, I think they're married now.
Yeah.
You know, they both live there, and it's like a full-time job. Like you're salaried, you're part of an entertainment company.
Yeah, I know.
And it's, so I guess that's like a huge thing. Like they get a bunch of Swedish producers as well. And it's like, here's your job. It's like you're working from this entertainment company that is this K-pop band.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, here in Sweden, there are so many producers doing songs for K and J-pop. I mean, you can check Starlab out.
Okay.
Do that. They all are, right. Yeah, they are quite big just in that area.
Starlab?
Yeah, Starlab.
Okay. Send me a bunch later, dude. Like,
yeah.
I mean, admittedly, I'm not as hip to K-pop as I should be, but I'm very hip to J-pop because, like, you know, early days of like J-hip-hop and J-pop, because it wasn't as popular, but I thought it was so interesting because they don't have like music venues like we have here in the States or in Sweden. Like, I think like early on, I read stories they were like playing Taekwondo arenas. Like that's where like rappers and artists would play.
It's like a whole different thing.
Like wild, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Last thing, and then we'll kind of move on. But what I think is so cool about J-pop and K-pop and just like any of these, like, you know, global music cities or countries that is not, you know, LA, New York, or London, basically. Anywhere that's not LA, New York, or London they end up making like this derivative version of what they think the cool thing is.
Yeah.
And then it becomes its own thing. Like K-pop is like, at least a few years ago, it was like early 2000s pop.
Yeah.
Like boy band sort of pop. And now it's
all elements that you can imagine, you know.
Right.
Half tempo, double tempo, rock guitars, you know. So, you know, it has everything in it.
It's like if the early 2000s had the production chops and abilities of today.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It is.
I love it, dude.
And the arrangements are quite advanced when you listen to it.
Yeah. Well, like, there you go. Sorry.
No, I mean... you know, there's so much going on. I mean, not all tracks, but, you know, a lot of these really poppy tracks, you know, it's like a circus of sounds and boom, you know, music's everywhere.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I don't know, the pop music of today, the arrangements are just so advanced. Like they're... Yeah. There's always things that are unexpected that were not the case years ago. People listen to jazz and they think it's like really complicated. Like the harmony maybe, but like the arrangement is always the same. It's an A part and a B part and an A part and a B part. But like pop, it's just the arrangements are all over now, dude.
Ooh, I know. Crazy.
I know. That's what, dude, I've been such a fan of all the stuff you make because you know when to not do crazy stuff and you know when to do crazy stuff. Anyways, just wanted to bring that back because, like, you pay attention, which is cool, and it's rare.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I try to follow the guidelines, but I'm also trying to follow what I would like to hear. And so far, it has been kind of a winning formula.
Were you always like when you went out kind of on your own, you became independent, what was your writing process like? I mean, were you always, you said you were working with some artists and like, actually, we never even finished this because I don't shut up. The Stockholm scene, how was that early 2000s? Sorry, my bad. Total tangent. Sorry, anybody listening. Daniel and I are having a good time.
Yeah, exactly. So listen now. No, but for real, the Stockholm scene was. I mean, everybody was doing music still. You know, there's. This is the hardest English word. Literally.
It's fine. Only dramatic people say literally.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
All good.
So I'll be dramatic then. you know. Yeah, there's a studio every 20 meters here in Stockholm.
Wild.
Yeah, there's a studio everywhere. So the scene was, it was cooking. I mean, for real cooking. But, you know, but everybody went out clubbing to get all the contacts and all that. And, you know, I've never been a club.
You know, a lot of people, you know, I consider myself very extroverted, but a lot of people who are more introverted and may, you know, not want to go clubbing or party or network, whatever. A lot of people think the industry is like really intimidating because it's like your network's your net worth and like you have to meet everybody. But like, I know a lot of people who are more introverted and like, totally kill it because their work just completely outpaces, you know, it's just doing what you are the very best at, just only do that and focus 100% in that.
Exactly. You know? Then in the end, they are getting their name out anyway. So
yeah, it's like, if you're really good at talking to people, like then just do that, like focus 1,000% on that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're good at making a kind of record, just do that. It's just like, be the expert in the craft.
I totally agree. I mean, that's the best way to succeed in doing what you're best at.
Right. Yeah. So you were, you know, a little bit active in the scene, but not necessarily, but you were writing a bunch, working at a studios. Were you, you know, you had a publishing deal. I would imagine, you know, he talked a little bit about Sync back then, but in 97 or early 2000s, like publishing and Sync wasn't, it's even less known than it is today.
Yeah, it was not that hot. I mean, you talk more about, yeah, I know this this guy from England, and I can you know, hook you up for a writing session and, you know, these kind of things. But I found, I also found through all the producer friends that I have here, collaborations with independent artists or songwriters that could write to my beats. And so I piled them up, you know.
Right.
In the end, I mean, I have maybe like 200 or 300 songs that has never left, you know, that hard drive. And, you know, it's a pity, but I see every track and every beat as, as money. I don't mean money like
you. Every single song you make, it's like a little piece of real estate.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to sell it? Do you want to flip this house or do you want to rent it out? You know?
Yeah.
Because if you want to sell it, like that's totally cool. You can sell your rights to it and somebody else can buy it and try to make money off of it. Or you can rent it out and people can license to use it. Like, but every single song that you own, that you have the rights to, you can make money from. It's just a matter of building that catalog. And it's that simple. Just make more music.
Yeah.
People don't get it. They think there's so much more to it. There's a little bit. You have to learn some marketing and business chops and, like, you know, learn how to, like, not fuck up a conversation with somebody, you know,
yeah, exactly.
not offend somebody and be easy to work with. But ultimately, you need to make a lot of good music. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so if one ever gets, how do you say, discouraged?
Yeah. If you ever get discouraged.
Yeah. And just continue because as you say, the more you pile up and put in your catalog, the more the chance is to have some real winnings.
Yep. It's quality and quantity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also it's showing up. Like, I mean, dude, I just want to tell this story really quick. And then, you know what? We can maybe get into like the early days of that pitch because you were there super early on, bro.
Yeah, I was.
But I remember I would call you up because we had certain clients and I did not have the music and like, I couldn't find the music that we needed. And I remember like it was this was early days. Like I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I still barely know what I'm doing, dude. And I got a call and they were like, hey, we need this kind of track. And, you know, the reference styles was for the most part traditional Native American music. And yeah. I, you know, called all of my people were sleeping. It was too late or they didn't have anything. Oh, I could get it for you tomorrow or the next day. And then I messaged you. And I mean, this was a big client. I mean, like it was a make or break, honestly, for that pitch that month. Yeah. I was like, this was early on, like when, I mean, I was really just figuring it out.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I didn't even know what we were doing. Like, I didn't know what that pitch was. I just knew there were like deals coming in because people trusted me. And then I could pay my friends. Like, we could just make it happen. And I called you up and you were like, yeah, buddy, no problem. I'm like, are you sure? Like, dude, you're like, do you know anything about any traditional Native American music? You're Swedish. And you're just like, No. Like I'll study. And like you made a bunch of tracks and you landed them. And like I sent it in an hour and I was like, oh my God, like you just showed up. Dude, you were prepared and you just showed up. That is such a, people don't do that. Like,
yeah, but I know why that happened because when you called me, I mean, those kind of things works as a trigger for me. You know, it's like, Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do something. But that's also because I'm not stuck on one genre. I mean, I love music as a whole. So and that makes it a little bit easier.
Because yeah.
I listen to so many different types of music. So you know, you have some knowledge about bits and pieces, and you know, I listen a lot to ambient and folk.
Really?
So I thought, yeah. So I thought, why not?
Just try it out.
I've been sending in a lot of, you know, like medieval tracks, like Celtic
dude, stuff. I remember I think we landed a few Celtic tracks. It's just,
yeah, I did.
Like, what the fuck?
But that's because I love the harmonies are so melodic and strange. You know, it's a genre that, you know, it's not that big today in right. this pop world. But
back in the day, Celtic was top 40, dude. Like back in the 1600s, top 40. Yeah,
exactly. So I made it top 2 or 1.
So, I mean. So what I thought was interesting is, like, you know, again, this was like early days of that pitch. I mean, when you were out on your own, you know, just working independently or even with the pub deal that you had.
Yeah.
I mean, did you always just innately just show up and like you made it work? Because it was just so natural. Like I hit you up. Everybody else that I hit up was like, I got nothing, or like, I can do it tomorrow. And you're just like, yeah, no problem. I'll send it through. And I'm sure that like wasn't easy, but like you sent it through within an hour, man. It's just, and that, I mean, with that client, you were one of the first names that they saw.
Yeah.
And so you just became a repeat and they were like, wow, like we love working with Daniel. Like he has great material, always shows up. It's always cleared. It's always original. And then it was just a matter of showing up. And then they were like, oh, we know this name. This is a good name. We trust this name, you know?
Well, it was, let's say it was a little bit of luck and talent together. I mean, I can't say, I mean, you know, I hate to brag. It's
not, do it, Daniel. Brag, baby.
I know. But, but I do know what I can do and not. So that's
important. Oh, yeah. So... Well, yeah. So let me ask you, when you were out on your own independent, were you doing a lot of stuff in sync?
None.
Right. What, so why was there just lack of opportunity, or was it too confusing?
I didn't know much about it, and I didn't pay attention to it back then. To be serious, it all started with that pitch. You know?
Hell yeah, dude.
Do you know how it started? You know, I was Googling, and I said, and I wrote, sync music, and that pitch was the first that came up.
Wait, this is funny. For maybe like 6 months, I ran Google ads, and I had no clue what I was doing. And I think I literally just was like, what keywords people are looking up? It was like, sync music, sync placement.
Yeah, yeah.
You were one of those people, dude.
Yeah, I know.
What?
I know. And I got
this, had no clue. You know,
this pink, you know, logotype. And I was like, okay. What's this? Let's check it out. And I did.
That's awesome, dude.
And that's how I became the second person to join that page.
You were really early, like, yeah, well, because back, were you really second?
Yeah.
Because I think it was Michael, he was first.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe Michael Scalabrino. Because I remember it was basically, I had a deal already in the bag.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the music for it. I like, it was, forgot what it was, but it was like not stuff I could easily produce myself at the time. And I still, for the most part, am. I really just produce indie pop and synth pop shit. Yeah. Like, that's all I do. Maybe it was like for a country record. I forgot, but it sent through. I had nothing.
Country, I know that.
Oh, not great stuff. They, surprised they didn't want their money back from that.
Refund. But,
yeah. And so they, you know, I had like enough going on. Like I had a bunch of friends who, you know, were helping me before. Yeah. Like I would send deals to them. And I was like, hey guys, like, I just know this is like a good contact. You know, I, at the time, you know, didn't know that much about sync, but I was like, this is a good contact.
Yeah.
I've landed some sync deals before. I got screwed over before. Right. It's like when you lose 50% of your income and you realize that's normal, you're like, what? So I just hit up my friends. I was like, hey, you've done sync before. And they're like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, how about this? This is a good contact I have. I just want to keep the contact. I don't know where it's going to go, but I want to impress them. If you land it, I'll give you 100%, but I just want to keep this going.
Yeah.
And so we kept doing that. And then there was one day where I was like, okay, well, like maybe there's a way where it isn't just one-on-one. And so that's when I started, like, I was like, okay, well, let me try, you know, pitch.com. 'Cause we're all pitching for the deals.
Yeah.
That was taken. And then I was like, ah, okay, thepitch.com wasn't there. I was like, ah, and I was like, thatpitch.com. And the domain was available. And I was like, oh, sick. Okay, cool. So about that. And
great back choice. Then,
I know back then it was just like a paid email list. That was it. And I remember it was $15 a month. If you can buy a burrito every month, you can pitch your tracks for sync deals.
I remember that.
And everything was pre-landed. But, you know, it was like a different thing. I mean, back then we were doing like a lot more of the traditional like sync route, like, you know, the $40,000 deals and
yeah,
that was a lot more difficult because I realized like how much politics there were in the industry. And then because you were early on, and then we made the shift. I started working with music licensing companies.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's all these YouTubers around. They need a lot of music.
Yeah.
And these music licensing, at the time, music licensing companies were like the ugly ducks. Like everybody was like, oh, screw them. Like, you know, who cares about YouTubers? The real money is like the big ad agencies. And like all these companies, I was like friends with, you know, I reached out and I was friends with some of the people there. And they're like, yo, like this shit's about to pop off. Like it's really growing. Like, you know, all of our friends are on YouTube and they all need music. YouTube just updated their policy where you can't upload music, you know, for free anymore. Like you have to get it cleared. And, so like, that's when I started, they were like, we need a bunch of cleared music and we're having issues with it. Can you help? And I was like, yeah, like my crew can help. And then I sent it out first month, you landed. And it was just from then on, I was like, oh, let's focus on music licensing companies. 'Cause that's the future. Like all the future is music licensing companies, YouTubers, podcasters, all these content creators. And you were, dude, I have so much to thank you for because like, you really saved my ass on a lot of those deals early on, bro.
Well, you got to know that it goes back to you because from that moment, I really felt that I was getting something back in my
home. Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
What?
That's the only truth. I mean, from there, I got this trigger to, you know, do better and learn about the sync world and stay with you guys and have a great time.
Dude, that means so much, man.
No, I'm really happy that I stumbled on that. Now, not that, but pitch, sync.
That and, pitch.
Exactly.
Dude, no. That's crazy. Yeah, I had no clue, man. I had no clue. Firstly, you came from a Google ad that I had no idea what the hell I was doing. So that's wild. And then secondly, bro, like I had no clue that like this was at a point where it's like, yo, I'm really getting a lot back from my music career. Like, because I mean, dude, you've landed so regular. I can't even imagine like what you're your quarterly checks are just like from royalties. Like, dude, you must be Dude, I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you. But I'm proud of everything you do because you know, it's important to have this drive, to have this passion. And obviously, even I or you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, you know, you want to evolve, you want to create something and of course get something back. And we are.
Dude, you're the fucking best, man. I'm so glad we're friends. And I'm so glad you're on that pitch.
Me too. Oh my God.
But in that order, bro, seriously, I'm super thankful, man. Cause like, it's been cool. Like you even taught me like a lot about, you know, it was just cool to know, like when I first like started like getting some momentum with this and I realized like what we could do and like, oh, we can like work with all of these companies. And it was, you know, my main thing is like, I never want to, like we've made Sync so much more accessible for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, it's still a lot of work, you know, like it's not, you know, you have to make music if you consider that work, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't come for free. I mean,
right. But like the thing is that, you know, if you are willing to make music and you want to get up every day and write music, like when I would hit you up and I was like, hey man, like we really need this. I have this feeling all the time of like, I want to make sure that this is never like too much work for someone. Like it's never, like even just the fact that like, we don't have anybody have to sign paperwork or upload stems or all this stuff until I know that they have the deal. Like it's, so that way it's like, we can minimize work for everybody. Yeah. Like we have a very, very strict policy with all of our clients. There's no revisions whatsoever. It's take it or leave it with the track. There's never going to be a back and forth. You have to do all this stuff. But still at the same time, I wanted to make sure that like, you know, I never wasted your time. And it was just so cool every time where I was like, hey man, like I know that that you could land this deal. Like I know you can. And you are always just like, dude, like I'll get it to you ASAP. Like let's make it work. Is what else can I do to make these tracks better? Like, are there anything the clients are saying about my work specifically or like trends that you're noticing? And like, you've just always been like, I want to learn. I want to make sure that like, you know, I just stay consistent. I understand that there's a process to all this. And also dude, like building that pitch has been like really fucking hard. And you've always been so supportive of like, yo man, like this is really helping people. Like you're paying people's, you know, wages, like just keep going. Like you're good. We all believe in this. So that's been dope. That's been really dope, man. So, and also you're like the beacon of hope for the community. Everybody fucking loves you, dude.
Really?
Dude, Daniel Musto, the catalog daddy. Everybody loves you, bro.
Well, thank you. I love you too. I mean, that's what a great community is all about. Understanding and no douchebagging.
There's no douchebaggery.
No.
Well, also,
No.
No, not in that pitch. We kick people out if they're assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's happened before. There was a couple people that were just like not great to other people in the group. We just like, you know, unsubscribed to them. It's like, bye.
I mean, because that's not the policy of that pitch.
Well, also, it's just like we're in such a rare time in the music industry where there is more music buyers than music makers. Yeah. Like there are more YouTubers and podcasters and content creators than there are producers and artists, like hands down.
Yeah.
You know, like there is so much money to go around and there's just so much opportunity for everybody. And it's like, we're still so early on, you know, it's like,
this is only the beginning.
Right. It's like, why even try to act like you're competing with somebody? We're all collabing essentially to really change Sync licensing, like to actually make it accessible for everybody, dude. And you've been such a, you know, huge part of that, man. I'm just honestly so thankful.
You've
been part of the crew since early on. And I'm so glad that my dumbass was like, oh, maybe I'll try Google Ads. And there you are, dude. because I know for damn sure we don't rank on SEO. So I think we're all like on the 10th page. So cool, I ran an ad that day.
Well, that was the smartest move you did.
Dude, this inspired me to start it again, bro. We're going to be on search.
At least it worked for me and obviously for you too, India. Right?
Hell yeah. Well, listen, where can people, you know, talk to you, find you? I know you're in the middle of making like a new Instagram or something.
Yeah, it's an ongoing project.
Well, they'll find you in the Facebook group for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there at Producerland.
If you join that pitch, you get access to Producerland. There's Daniel. Yeah. And he's taken everybody under his wing, basically. In the
I'm here.
He's the best. And you just worked on, you just put out a record, right?
I recently released a track called Bold featuring Jessica Stoll, which also is the woman that I'm living with. Yes, now you know it. And yeah, we write music together, and we have this little alter ego, you know.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, and we are going to try to work a little bit differently, not so much for artistry, but more to get it out in many different
awesome
ways.
Well, we can start licensing it on that pitch. You know that. Just hit me up.
Exactly. I know.
And dude, you're the best. And last thing, any lessons, like any advice you want to give to anybody out there who's like considering pursuing music, producing, you know, an artist project, everything?
I mean, it's so easy to say this, but make a lot of music, have fun, and connect with the right kind of persons that will take you forward. I mean, that's it.
Daniel Musto.
Yes.
You're the best. Let me do a quick, here we go. Wait a second. Let's see if you can hear this. I got a media player. And if we want some laughs too, let me do this. Watch. Dude, I got all of the media player in here.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Dude, we'll cheer you on too. Watch. What's good? Anyways, all right. Dude, thank you so much. All right.
Thanks, Mark. Speak soon.